For the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened, and thus is obstructing our ability to deal effectively with the global political turmoil that this awakening is generating.
So back in October, a group of us shut down and occupied EDF's West Burton gas-fired power station for a week to be saved from the 20,000 tonnes of carbon.
We need to stop complying and start defying.
This is Dark City Radio.
One of the most concerning things about this is that the police seem to have been talking directly with EDF, actually helping them to sue us.
This is Dark City Radio.
East Sussex County Council then came up with the scheme of a link road.
I am eager to hear what, you know, what you've done, how you've got there, you know, how these backhanded, well, I don't know whether there is a conspiracy or the left hand really doesn't know what the right hand is doing within our council offices, you know.
This is Dark City Radio.
They didn't have the proper licences in place to cut the hedgerows down or to take the stumps of the trees out. Public inquiry was, in my opinion, rigged. There was protesters in the trees.
If you lower yourself to the level of violence, then the strongest person wins.
And this whole state is controlled by a body of words created by the government, statutes and acts. We're police by consent. And that means statutes and acts require our consent to be given the force of law.
There's so many corrupt angles going on from this, it's unbelievable, it really is. East Sussex County Council are just bullying through.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Resistance News, and I'm commonly called Bob Earthwise. Welcome to your new show, where you can netcast to all about your actions of resistance. And we're here every week on Dark City Radio. DAs, or direct actions, drive progress. And whether it be from Rosa Parks on an Alabama bus to the tank man in Tiananmen Square, these are the people that have affected real societal change.
We don't need someone to come along and tell us how to live in our community. We've got to make a peaceful, honest, honourable stand to the best of our ability to stop this going on.
And now, please welcome the Dark City Radio Resistance News Crew.
Hey, how are you all doing? Well, I hope you've had a good week since last week, and the music from last week helped you through it all. Well, as you're probably well aware, April the 1st, April Fool's Days, the day when a lot of these welfare changes are set to come in, bit by bit, gradually, and they're hitting some of the least able to afford it, people in the community. And often, because of the scope of all the cuts, that people are affected by more than one. So when people talk about, okay, well, you're going to lose £20 a month for this one, that's just one of them. And often there's another £10 on another one and another £15 on another one. And so it goes on. And many of us are affected by all of this. And what I thought might be an idea is, if we try and follow how each of us are dealing with some of the unacceptable changes that are being imposed, and whether any of them are contestable, that we have the Dark City, the Resistance News Crew, Chris, and hopefully some others, So we're gonna talk this through, and if there's anyone out there listening who'd like to join in and be part of this ongoing survey and sharing of ideas for being able to resist some of the changes, you're more than welcome to join in. By the phone, it's 0161 298 0298, or Bob's Backyard on Skype. Join us if you want to. But first of all, it'd be good to hear from Paul. He went to one of the demonstrations about the bedroom tax aspect of the welfare cuts, and I understand he had a good day. How are you doing, Paul?
Oh, excuse me, muted microphone. I've had an absolutely cracking day out. We really have. We took the tank man from Tinnaman Square with us, our Stephen. And he only walked slow, Stevie. So he was at the back, and that became very annoying to people because, he wasn't quick enough to keep up with them. So he had his own individual one-man protest behind the main body of protesters. And we were trying to take a few photographs and stuff, and generally having a good time. It was a really, a positive thing. All right, it's not a good thing to be there having to do, but it was a good positive vibe to it, Bob. It really was. But then, unfortunately, I got removed from the demonstration. I wasn't actually demonstrating in the correct manner. I'm not quite sure. They decided that they didn't want us walking where we were walking, and we had to walk somewhere else. So that was a bit strange. So I kind of broke off from the main body of demonstration at that point, and we went to look at the army in... what's it called, that big square where we were? Is it Albert Square? Was it Albert Square? Something like that. The big square right in front of the town hall. Well, the town hall was heavily harmed there, Bob. They got themselves an helicopter, and they got themselves a jet fighter, like an armoured personnel carrier with a machine gun on the front of it, because obviously there was... They were protecting the town hall from the work. So anyway, there's a wedding, there's a woman, I forgot to mention that, you can't write this stuff. There's a lady in full wedding regalia, I presume she is getting married, who sat on the front of the tank getting a photograph taken. And as I walked through this area, these two young Air Force officers, a male and a female officer, one said to the other, "Oh, they're not demonstrating about us again, are they?" And I heard him. I said, no, they're not demonstrating against you. I said, well, kind of, you know, they want to have houses and you want to have helicopters. And the irony, and as we came out of there, we bumped into Charlie Beach, and he was having a good demonstrate, so that he had his man straight. The whole irony of it, before I get to the irony, they all stood there and they shouted it was their city and they wanted their city, and and of course the lady who was getting married thought all the peasants would turn up to sing at a wedding, Bob. It was quite phenomenal, you know, these two kind of sections of society, the poorest of the poor and you might say the almost middle class army type people. So, yeah, then they marched around the corner, Albert Square, it was Albert Square, I think, isn't it? They marched around the corner, and then they all stopped, and they shouted, "Shame on you for having a brew," to all the people in Starbucks. And at that point, I'm like, I've lost the plot here, me, you know. I must admit, I was walking along with everybody else with a brew in my hand. I kind of ditched my coffee cup at that point. We went on a demonstration against the imposed authority on bedroom tax, where we were allowed by the authority and told by the authority where and what to do and where and what to do it. I don't know, Bob. Maybe I need to learn more demonstrating or menstruating. I need to get some training or something, because it was funny. I had a real good time, and I suggest if you are going to go out, then go out. I go out and have a demonstrate. It's wonderful stuff. I'm failing to see what the purpose of it was, except to say the city of Manchester really aren't bothered about bedroom tax. You know, there should have been millions of people out there. I don't know how many, at least hundreds of thousands. I do believe up in the north, up in Scotland, they had a good turnout. So it's good to see that in certain parts of the world, people are actually coming together on a single common cause. So yeah, it was a bit of a joke, really. I was removed by the what do we call them? The Ivy's jacket people, who were the stewards. Is that who they are? The stewards. Some of them were really good.
Sometimes they call themselves marshals.
Right, yeah, well, them are on. They were Ivy's jacket people. I was actually saved. I was actually saved by Charlie Beach. They decided that, I don't know why, this woman suddenly decided that me, as a single person, one guy, armed with me digital camera, was suddenly a threat to their entire march. I mean, I was actually shouting on the side of the road as I walked along with them. They were shouting, no, 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 to bedroom tax, and I was shouting something like fuck the government and grow skunk or something. I was telling, you know me, Bob, I always come up for a positive solution, you know. It was grow skunk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was grow skunk. Yeah, forget the tax and grow the skunk. Something like that. And they decided at that point that I was holding up or making them go the wrong way or something, I don't know, and they wanted to marshal me away. And at that point, actually, Charlie Beach burst from the crowd. He was really running, run over like a five-year-old child, shouting,
independent.
Yeah. That's what he shouted, he's independent media. And now, I don't know, I don't honestly think it was somebody shouting he's independent media, or whether it was Charlie shouting independent media, and they just immediately decided that I was all right to carry on doing what I was doing. So then I promptly marched up the middle of the street in front of everybody, telling everybody that they weren't demonstrating properly, and to demonstrate like that lady over there. And then later on, she did it again. She was this same individual. Suddenly, thought she was a some kind of authority, and people were told her, not just myself. I ended up joking me. It was just. They were joking. I actually asked her to move out of the way at one point because she was holding up the demonstration and she really didn't like that. And then the next minute she's talking to the police, trying to cause more hassle. Fortunately, the police had actually seen the funny side of what we were doing, you know. It was, and a lot of people, it's not about getting upset and getting angry, you know, it isn't. So it was a great day out, Bob. We had laughs and smiles on our faces. We had a right good bit of old traditional English fun. I wish I'd had more good, mate. I wish I could have more to report, really. You know, it was a great day out. I suggest that anybody goes and, because they've got nothing to do on a Saturday or a Sunday, and go down and support, whatever it is. It don't matter, it's a good day out. But let's be honest about it. You know, it's not going to make any difference, you know, it really isn't.
I don't think we're
people. You may well be right, but I understand that we got a scoop out of the day.
Actually, we did, yeah, again. After I've been rescued... I was a bit shocked, and I asked Charlie if I was here. Am I here? Am I all right? And he responded, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're here. And I was like, wow, Charlie. Are you Dr. Spock? And Charlie actually responded and told me that he is actually Dr. Spock, that Charlie Beach is actually Leonard Nimoy. Is Leonard Nimoy, he's actually Dr. Spock. We are wondering, and actually from the photographs of the day, and if anybody else has got any photographs from for Manchester today, which Ali isn't in them, then please could you forward them to Dark City, because I don't know how he does it. He's in every photograph. Is he in yours? That's on two cameras. So we have actually now convinced that Charlie was beaming down, and that he is actually Dr. Spock. So, yeah.
Well, it's good that the truth's out there, isn't it, at last? I mean, there's been so much speculation about this.
Well, you know what? It is about the truth. It is about the truth, and some people just need to be lie ever to themselves. And well, we've got these people who are continuing to be lie ever to other people as well as be lie ever to themselves. And then, of course, they're going to have a different perspective of what truth really is.
Are you affected by any of these welfare changes?
No, well, my weird thing was, is just recently, I think they just put a pinch on everybody, didn't they? I'd actually gone through having to sort out everything for myself in January, because I'd never done it before. So that was all pretty new to me, and it was a bit confusing. But recently, Bob, they sent me a letter to tell me I had to fill out this form. If I didn't fill out the form, they'd stop paying me the money that they've already told me I'd be paid. And it would change on the 13th of April, between the 6th and the 13th of April. These are the changes I presume you're talking about. And, they'd already sent me all that, and then they sent me another letter telling me if I didn't fill out this letter, that I had to claim income support for another person, and if I wasn't prepared to claim income support for another person, then they were going to cancel me income support. So I rang them up and said, you're saying that I've got a claim for another, but if you don't fill that letter in, we're going to cancel your money and stuff. So I asked them quite politely, and who am I claiming income support for? And she said, who are you? And I told them, I'm Paul Aidan. And she said, right, well, you've got to claim it for Mr. Paul Aidan. I said, but I'm already claiming it. She said, yeah, but you've got to claim it for yourself. And at this point, Bob, I'm like getting quite confused. This lady's actually telling me she wants me to claim income support for myself, which I already claim income support. When I pointed this out, she told me I couldn't claim it twice, and if I did, it would be fraud. What? They're telling me I've got to fill the form in to claim income support for another person. I've never asked them to claim income support for another person. The other person they're speaking of course, is the legal fiction. Mr. Paul Aidan. I'm Paul, of course, exempt under the Mental Health Act, because I'm nuts. So, yeah, that was a bit weird. Absolutely weird. Anyway, the good news is I wrote across it, help, 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 you're all mad. I've rung you 7 times over 5 days and you've never called me back. I am one individual sentient being. I am not two sentient beings, and you say I'm the one who's schizophrenic, and I posted that back, and they have paid me all my money, Bob. They seem to be happy with that, so I don't know if it's good advice for other people, but it certainly worked for me, and I've got all the phone calls recorded.
That sounds like a good response. It does, you know. It's
of course, I do think the social services and their governing bodies and so forth, I think they're very, very feminine in the nature. I'm quite feminine, my nature, myself, and people who know me will know I don't get comfortable because I might change my mind at any moment. So I'm not going to get comfortable with it. I mean, I do expect them to change their mind, perhaps, or, you know, before they've actually made. I don't think these people are actually capable of making their mind up. It would appear that, you know, after the numerous calls, that they just seem to want to pass you to somebody who really wants to pass you on to somebody else who isn't really there.
It's computers at the end of the day, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, they were people.
Computers make all the decisions, and people that are working with them just deliver the decision.
Yeah, I have got a bit of breaking news actually coming in. We cater for all things in the Dark City, and one of our members actually escaped late hours of last night. and got out of Dark City, and he was actually running rampant in Manchester today. He has been photographed on YouTube and removed. His photograph was actually removed. Now, I don't know what if the terminology of our Dark City anarchy gimp. I don't know if this is offensive to people out there, but unfortunately, well, thanks to Dawn of Dark City, Anarchy Gimp is now back up, and he's now starting to post on Facebook. But yeah, they have tried to already remove Anarchy Gimp, and we've only just got him back in the city, Bob. But just because I don't want people worrying, yeah, he's all right. We've put him in his cardboard box. He's now back under the stairs, and he's wrapped up in his torn up newspaper. So he'll be all right for a bit more time.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, how are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Bob. Yourself?
Are you on your own still?
Yes, my guests haven't arrived yet. So, I'll let you know what I've been doing today. I tied up with a group of local hippie terrorists today. And we went planting some seeds.
You want to tell us about it?
Well, we went chalking. We hijacked the council event, which was a council extravaganza to celebrate Easter. And we planted a few seeds by writing a few messages down on the ground and in certain areas, just to, jog people's conscience a little into educating themselves a little further on things. A few references to Alice in Wonderland and The Matrix with Follow the White Rabbit, and some true history of Easter and some comparisons of other faiths, religions and languages on how they spell Easter and what their meaning of Easter is, just to try and expand people's education a little. Yeah, we had a good day. We had a great day. We were working where there was no cameras at all. We had families coming by, joining in, kids joining in. It was a really happy day.
Oh, cool. And this was where? In the local gardens?
Yeah, the local gardens are just down the road from me.
And were there plenty of people joining in?
Yeah, there's a lot of families going by, and, obviously, there's chalks flying around all over the place, so the kids are just picking up the chalks and joining in, and we're happy about that, and the parents are dead happy about it. And they get involved with the kids, the parents. It's so rare you see kids getting involved playing, parents getting involved playing around with their kids, playing with chalk and paint and so being artistic and creative. So it's a beautiful sight. It warms the heart.
And a bit rebellious at the same time.
That's it, because a lot of people come by and they say, we overhear them, are they meant to be doing that? Have you got permission to be doing that? It's ridiculous. People are under the impression you need permission to be doing anything. We don't need permission to do anything at all.
Well, that's the conditioning, isn't it?
As long as you're not harming anyone, why would you need permission to do anything? There's some kind of mental block going on. Yeah, it's the conditioning, the media conditioning. Yeah, I totally agree with you there, mate. It's frustrating as well. Frustrating.
Well, people, bit by bit, are getting it, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
It's just... Rome wasn't built in a day, was it?
Well, you can only plant seeds. You can't go out there and wake people up. We've all learned that does no good at all. People have to wake up in their own time. Some people don't want to wake up. Some people don't want to take a certain pill and wake up. They're happy where they are. Well, then stay there. There's enough people who want to wake up that will see the clues and follow the white rabbits, and they will find the information if they really want it.
Are any of these welfare changes going to be affecting you?
Not really. I mean, the council tax rises will probably affect me, but then again, not, because I just don't bother with the council tax anymore. I don't bother paying it. I refuse to pay it. I own my own house with a mortgage, so the bedroom tax, they're not coming in here. So it doesn't really affect me, so it's a difficult one for me to comment on, really.
So have you taken the council on over the tax, then, in any specific way?
It started a year ago, actually. They took me to court for non-payment, and I decided to go. And I conditionally paid my council tax. And then they asked me my condition before I signed the cheque. And I said, well, on condition that Mr. whatever his name was at the council who was attempting to contract with me, on condition that next year he attempts to contract in a sensible manner, not just assuming that I want to come into a contract. So, and I got that on the record. So everything he sent me this year is just an assumption that he wants to, I want a contract with him. But it's on the record that I want him to contract with me in a proper, orderly fashion.
So that means that you don't have to comply then?
That's well, as far as I see, yeah. That will be my defence if it ever does go any further than a letter to me.
Oh, you will respond by letter first then?
Yeah. If I get a serious enough letter through, I shall quote that, quote that it's on the record. Yeah, I'm willing to do that.
Well, you'd stand in more honour then, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Hey, look, you know, I think it's only fair to point this out. Oh, that's interesting. It'd be good to hear how that goes, because presumably that applies to all the people that have only going to receive between 80 and 90% of their council tax benefit.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a news flash for you from I'll just call him JK. He's been listening to the stuff that's been going on Dark City Radio, Run from the Cure. So he's only a student, but he's been going out. He's been going out over the past week, and he's been going into local parks and other places and planting handfuls of hemp seed everywhere. So I just thought, you know,
good man. What he wants to do is plant them in the plant pots at the council offices, so it comes up in the foyer.
Yeah, he's actually saying, he goes on to say later that he's really looking for a good. Affordable, mould-resistant, short-flowering autoflower and weather-resistant seed is really required. He is able to get them, but these seeds can cost him £5 per seed. So, yeah, it's more what Rick was actually saying about this. It just proves he was right. So I just thought with you saying about resistance and stuff
Wouldn't it be a shame if they all started sprouting up in the councillors' front gardens?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not something I condone. I really think
no,
it
I
should
don't
be.
Either, no.
You know, I think it should be done. You know, we there shouldn't be any issues with it. It should be treated like, you know, celery or lettuce or whatever. You know, tomatoes. It should be restricted as tomatoes are. That's my opinion. But anyway, I thought it was just a nice little.
Yeah, good lad.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Well, I guess that takes us neatly into the little halfway music break. So enjoy the little piece coming up, and I'll see you the other side of it.
Well, welcome back, people. We're still carrying on with this welfare business, and we've got a few more people come into the room that will talk about how they're affected, if they're affected, and on what levels, and how they think that the various bits are either challengeable or resolvable, or whether it's just a question of giving in, really. Boris is here. I don't know whether you heard the first bit of the show, Boris, but we're kind of chatting about all these various changes that are going to start on Monday, and are any going to affect you?
We didn't hear the first half of the show, we only just got in, but we're not sure, Bob, we're not looking forward to it, I know that. We've had letters telling us that we're overpopulating our house, so we're on the other end of the scale to everybody else. We haven't got enough rooms. And we've had letters saying that from October we're going to be on a monthly payment, which we're not looking forward to because, you know, trying to budget for a month is going to be a bit crazy, really. But apart from that, we're just really worried about what's going to happen come Monday. You know, we really don't know nothing.
Well, presumably if they're taxing people because they got too much room, do they pay you because you don't have enough?
No, if only. That's what we thought. It might stay on the bottom, so here's some money for you, guy. Or even, like, here's a house big enough for you to all live in or something. But no, it just said we don't have to pay anything. That was it, really.
They want their cake and eat it, then.
Yeah, don't they? Don't they? There's no houses around here to fit everybody in anyway, you know?
I guess if you're in receipt of anything, the fact that it's capped at a 1% increase, which is 1.5% out from what they think inflation is, and in fact inflation's more like 10 or 15%, that's one way that everyone's affected, and that's, of course, straight away is losing you money out of your pocket in real terms. And that affects absolutely everyone that is in receipt of any sort of benefit whatsoever. But it's all the other levels added into that, for, you know, like the bedroom tax, for instance, and the changes in council tax benefit, which is another one that's going to hit so many people that are, you know, not at all well off, you know. The fact that they're claiming for that benefit is an indication that their income is pretty derisory. And we're just trying to, you know, assess how many of these different changes are affecting each individual, because it's always more than one. And we just wonder whether any others might be affecting you guys.
We don't know, mate. There's so much disinformation out there. We're literally just waiting to find out, you know. Yeah, we don't know if Joe's going to get called in for medicals. We really don't know what's going to happen next. I was talking to a guy last night, and he was convinced that it's only if you're in social housing this is going to affect you. I'm convinced that it's if you claim the benefits it's going to affect you, whether it's social housing or private. So there's a lot of misinformation, you know, people just getting confused, I think,
and
don't know what's going to happen.
The bedroom tax is only applicable to council or housing association properties. If you're with a private landlord, the bedroom tax is not applicable.
Oh, well, I didn't realise that. I thought it was if you claimed housing benefit, it was applicable.
Well, yeah, but not if you're in private housing.
Right. That does really confuse the matter even more, that, doesn't it?
But then, obviously, the cap on council tax benefit is applicable whether you're in private housing or not.
We had a letter last week telling us that we'd get full housing and full council tax benefits.
We're not looking forward to it being paid into our account rather than straight to the landlord.
Well, that's going to become more common with the universal credit when it's rolled out nationwide. That's going to be starting in 4 pilot areas right away. And in fact, 3 of them, they can't start it because they haven't got all the right resources to run the scheme. So it's only going to start in one area and then the other 3 in July, as far as I'm aware. So how long this will take to roll out through the whole country remains to be seen. So it may well be 2017 before some of us even see the changes.
Yeah, like I say, we just really don't know, you know. We're sitting on a knife edge, I think, quite a lot of people are, not really not knowing what's around the corner, you know.
It strikes me that the money they appear to be saving is derisory, and in the long run it may end up being a false economy because people are going to default on stuff
more easily, aren't they?
Well, I know a place where they can save 100 million.
Where's that?
This is a stupid road scheme.
Yeah.
I've also noticed another three in the southeast that have popped their ugly heads up in the last week as well.
Road schemes?
Yeah. Arundel, and I can't remember what the other one is. Yeah, Arundel, there's one, an Arundel bypass.
Right.
But that's another story.
A little bit of information, Bob, I picked up today. I don't know how true it is, it needs to be checked out, on the bedroom tax, that you can avoid one of the bedrooms if it's a prayer room. Prayer rooms, apparently, I don't know, it needs to be checked, but apparently if one of these rooms is dedicated to a prayer room, then it is taken off, it's not counted as a bedroom. Also, another one about the area. Now, I know this is right. If the area is a certain size, under a certain size, then it's no longer classed as a bedroom. So,
70 square feet, isn't it?
So the idea of putting a petition in into these, a simple petition in, then that would also make it exempt. Now, another one I've heard is a bedroom's not classed as a bedroom unless it has a door on it. So again, it needs to be checked, where apparently if there's no door on the bedroom, then it's not a bedroom. Again, it needs to be checked, as the prayer room does. That needs to be checked, I don't know. But definitely I feel the prayer room needs to be looked at.
Well, any form of resistance to these things is got to be worth a try, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, many people have different religious ideologies, you know. I mean, I suppose to a Rastafari, and it would be a smoking room. Perhaps to a Hindu or a Muslim or, but to someone who's not religious, then it could be a meditation area. It's obviously, if the room's not being used for that purpose, it's being used for another purpose, and certain purposes are allowed under, is it European Court of Human Rights? Now, I don't like to go to these corporate bodies asking them for, you know, to uphold my rights. I think that's a bit preposterous as well, but it is there. It does say in the creating no loss, harm or breach of the peace, and you've got the right to carry out what practices you choose in your own home. Marriage is one of the things that was allowed under such laws. Of course, you can't smoke cannabis under the same law. I mean, and that's one case that they've refused to hear. We often wonder why that is. But yeah, there is a lot of support for that in various different angles. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. And this information it's not been verified to me. That's why I'm saying it needs to be checked. But I do know that there are people who are actually attempting this. And that the room is not a bedroom, it's a prayer room.
That still sounds good to me. I think that the more challenges all of this has, the far more likelihood that we'll find an answer to it. Because quite frankly, it beggars belief that government at whatever level, whether it be local or national, can treat people that they're supposed to be looking after their best interest in such a manner.
That really doesn't surprise me, Bob. I mean,
it's the fact that it happens, you know.
We've got a minority, we've got a very small minority group known as the government or governors, very small minority group, which are voted by another minority and the actual voting public. And then from those voting public, another minority actually wins the vote. And in our case in Britain, I mean, nobody actually voted for them. Nobody voted for a coalition government.
normally. And so, you know, we've actually got now a minority that nobody voted for ruling over with force and power. They're threatening us with imprisonment and punishment, where they use our money to fund illegal laws abroad. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that they haven't turned on the public more severe than they have. But I think a lot of the time, a lot of these protests, and I don't mean the ones on the streets, of course, but, you know, work that's carried out, I suppose, behind the scenes and pressure groups and so forth, I do think they do have an effect. We don't hear about it, of course. You know, there's what was there, 33 cannabis farms shut down. And we never find out how many plants there were in the 33 farms. Yeah, Crown Prosecution's Service says anything less than 100 plants can be considered to be, in total lies, that plant is every plant, is considered to be non-commercial. So, you know, are we talking now that they've shut down 33 cannabis plants with over 100 plants in every one? No. I mean, in my local area, Bob, there was a gentleman it was reported all over the local newspapers, cameras thrust into his face one morning when they shut down his cannabis farm. Quote, cannabis farm found in Ashton Underline. The police failed to mention, and the reporters who were on hand, cameramen and so forth, of the press, they failed to mention that there was 6 plants in this cannabis farm, and he actually received a caution. Now, that's more serious than parking on a double yellow line. You won't get a caution for parking on a double yellow line. You'll get a ticket to pay money. So, yes, this most heinous crime of running a cannabis farm is punishable by a caution. Lo and behold, why he took the caution, I've no idea, but, you know, well, I do know they threatened his mother. They threatened to go on and harass his aged mother. So he accepted the caution, and where he was held in the police station when they went round and searched his aged mother's house. Completely different location. And they did it anyway. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me, Bob. It really does not surprise me in the slightest. You know, why we'd have a government that's prepared to murder and kill completely unlawfully and illegally, whatever book you look at, and that they would eventually turn on their own people, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Slightly different angle. It would be nice to hear of anyone that's found ways of breaking away from this system and not relying on the benefit system and finding their own way. And that, you know, once you don't rely on their benefits, they can't affect you. Do you know where I'm coming from?
I'm right with you, be there, Chris, man. I've tried on a number of occasions, and, you know, I employed 11 people at one point.
Like a hook, line and sinker thing. They've got a dependent on their benefits. And then suddenly they withdraw them all. And we weren't born to be dependent on them.
No, totally agree with you, mate. Totally agree with you. I ended up giving up work there, Chris. I stopped working. I walked away from it. And I'll tell you why. It's because my mortgage wasn't getting paid and everybody else's was. That's what happens at the end of the day. I mean, you're right, we don't want to be dependent on anyone. Nobody wants to be dependent on anyone.
I mean, once you're in the system, it's very hard to get back out of it.
But yeah, when, like I say, in the system, you know, not actually paying it out, at the end of the day, what are we doing? We're working to pay our mortgages, which are paying the banks.
Yeah.
You know, I've been both sides of the fence, Chris, you know, and neither side's right.
Every benefit taken is taken from someone else. And then we moan that the taxes we're paying. You know, every time you take something taken off the council or the government, it's taken from one of us. And we're perpetuating this system. And it's like we're asking it to carry on how it has been for hundreds of years. But at the same time, we're moaning that it's been that way for hundreds of years.
We had a silence. Hey, that's good, isn't it? A dramatic silence. You don't get many of them.
Well, I'm not sure that there's been a welfare system for hundreds of years.
No, I meant that we've been moaning the way the system and the elites have been treating us for the last couple of hundred years. But we, for some reason, we want to keep perpetuating that system and claiming the benefits and not standing up on our own two feet. There is a lot of people who can't stand up on their own two feet. I do admit that, and, you know, they're the exception. But there is a lot of fit and healthy people who could be finding what they're good at, what they love doing. And it's a benefit to society itself, your creativity.
Well, I think that there are, you know, to a lesser or greater extent, a number of people that do that.
It'd be nice to hear from some.
But the system itself frowns upon that way of distributing your energy, doesn't it?
They do. And that, what does that tell us? That tells us that is the right way for us to bring down their system and introduce our new system. Just forget them.
I think that it needs to just be done. You know, I mean, it's not a question of introducing it instead of, as well as it just needs to be done
instead of,
in terms of placement or anything.
We got a caller on the line for you there, Bob. The person on the telephone, could you turn your radio off or your player for us, please?
Is it on right now? I'm sorry.
That's okay, mate.
Okay, now, it's Barry calling from Canada.
Hey, how you doing, Barry?
Something that's really catching on in North America, I don't know if your viewers are aware of aqua gardening, or what's called aqua gardening, a simple system where you're using fish to fertilize fresh vegetables and recycling the water through the fish pond. You are supplied with seven varieties of carp that are very, very high in protein, and buying ripened vegetables that is your basic sustenance for existence. Can be done in a very small area of the house. It is going, this is going like wildfire in North America now. I'm doing the system myself, and it's costing me about $30 a month to put fresh fish and fine ripened vegetables on my table every day of the week. I don't know if you're, it's a very easy way to become self-sufficient. And I don't know if your viewers are aware of it, but the information is available on the internet.
I think it's called aquaponics over here.
Yeah, it is. It is aqua garden aquaponics. Same thing, but if people investigate, you'll find it's a very, very easy way to become self-sufficient in your basics, which is your fish, which is your protein, and your vitamin of vegetables, which provide you with all your phytochemicals, which are actually your major cancer fighters. Buying ripened vegetables provide the phytochemicals. Vegetables that are ripened prior to delivery or shipped green to a market never produce the phytochemicals that are supposed to be coming out of your vegetables, and by doing it yourself, you get those phytochemicals, and they are being proved to be a major cancer fighter. So I just thought I'd share that with your viewers.
Do you have your own aqua garden?
Yes, I am doing it now, sir. Just got my system up.
How long have you been doing it?
I've only had it going for 3 weeks now. I'm now eating fish and vegetables. It cost me about, in the fish food that I'm buying, it's going to be about 18 or 20 bucks a month in food, and it's taking me about 15 minutes a day to maintain the pond and the garden. So it's a very, very cool way to become self-sufficient and get away from going to the grocery stores and buying the all the chemicals and crap they put into the vegetables. You know, it's just, it's you're producing your own clean vegetable. And it's
and you've got a lot more spare money in your wallet at the end of the week as well. So you're not having to spend your money on food from the shops.
Well, exactly. And, you know, of course, we know that everything we're buying in the grocery store is just loaded with chemicals. It's all part of the game. Look at the rise in cancers, and it's all relevant.
Yeah.
This way, I got onto this system. The way this is set up, you're putting no chemicals, period, in your body. It's totally inorganic. And it can be done in an area of maybe 10 by, I've got an area about 10 by 12 that we set ours up, and it's working just great now.
Are you talking feet?
You can do up to 6 to 7 different varieties of vegetables, and they all ripen at different times. So you're getting a tremendous variety of vegetables, you're using your rice as your basics, you know, which is very, very inexpensive as long as you don't get anything. That's GOM modified, of course, but we're finding it's just great. And I'm telling my friends about it, and they're getting into it, and it's becoming very, very popular in North America, and the information is available on the Internet.
Does this involve fish tanks?
Pardon?
Does this system involve fish tanks?
Yes, we've got a pond set up. We've got a pond set up and a recycling pump, and you're just pumping the water through the pond. The fish do their little poopy thing in the pond, and that goes in and feeds your plants. It comes back to your pond, cleaned by the plants, draining the poopy out of the water. Pretty simple, bud. So simple, but very, very effective.
Larry, if I may, you've put a massive smile across my face, Larry.
Buddy, if your viewers look into this, it's so simple. It is, and you know the beauty about it, if you have children, you can take your fishing rods out there and go catch a fish every day. And you can do 7 different varieties of carp, and they're very, very tasty, and they're very high in protein. All your amino acids, everything's there, and you can do it in your house. You don't have to put up with the BS in the grocery stores. Think about it.
Larry,
it's a phenomenal system.
Larry, I'm Bob Larry, commonly known as my real name. No, not my real name. My given name is Paul. I got the Bell Siphon to work, the aquaponics Bell Siphon to work. The website is Bob's Backyard or Aquaponics for Life,
right.
Or on YouTube, man, on YouTube. So,
exactly.
Yeah, to sit here and have somebody all the way over in Canada coming on, telling me they've just set up in the last few months, it's working for you, you're having a great time. You really have put a smile on my face, mate. That's the best bit of, you know, this is Bob Earthwise's news, resistance news, man. And that, you know, that is the real resistance. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you've got out there, you've had a look, you've done your research, you've put a viable alternative into practice.
Exactly. And all that people have to do in these times, buddy, is use your creativity. Use your imagination, because you can get completely away from the BS in the system and the tyranny and the what they're doing to us right now. You can get away from it. You just got to use your creativity. And this system here is so simple. I recommend everybody that's listening out there in Radio Land to get into looking at it and buy the system. You can buy the system yourself. You can buy a package off this company in the States right now. I think it was $498 total. Plug it in, ready to go. Or, you know, it's something very simple that you can set up yourself. It's a very, very simple idea, but it works very well.
So, yes, Larry, once you've set this system up, Larry, how long before you start getting yield off of it?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, wow.
Yeah.
Leaf vegetables.
We're harvesting tomatoes tonight.
So is this like you've gone to the fish shop and you've bought baby fish in there and you've planted seeds and 3 weeks later you've got stuff to eat?
Yeah, the fish aren't quite big enough yet, but we're getting vegetables.
Yeah, the technique over here, Chris, it can be easily adapted with fingerling trout. You can use fingerling trout. You need to have quite a lot of movement of water for trout, a lot of flow. But you get a lot of flow running. You put fingerling trout in it. You can, in one season, you can rear those to plate size quite easily.
you can expand off the system too. You know, there's other things you can do off the side of the system. I have to leave, unfortunately, because I've got an appointment to go to. I'm going to leave you now, but just ask your viewers to explore it and look into it themselves, and you will be very, very thankful that you did. And,
thanks, Larry.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I will call in again because I have all kinds of other neat stuff that we're looking at that I'd love to share with your viewers.
Thank you, Larry.
You guys have a good day, and it's Barry, not Larry.
Thank
and,
you, Barry.
Your viewers, you guys have a great day, and I listen to your show all the time, but God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Larry.
Well, that was cool. It's good to have somebody from another continent call in with a solution. And that is, as Paul said, that is where the real resistance is.
It sounds like you can probably make most of these systems with a lot of recycled gear. And you don't have to spend a load out to get these systems going. It's just, you're just looking, the most you've got to spend is fish. I mean, you can probably find most of the parts down your local council dump for this stuff. Find yourself a fish tank, some tubing, some pipe, you'll be away.
Well, that's the advantage of having lots of minds. Well, I guess this has brought us to the end of this week's show. I hope people have had fun with it. And we'll come back, hopefully, with some more solutions next week. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye, Bob.